Father, I just thank you tonight. You are the most powerful God. You are wonderful to your children. You love us immensely. You never leave us nor forsake us. And Father God, you're always right on time with everything that you do. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in the world. I thank you what you're doing in politics. I thank you what you're doing in the body of Christ. And Father God, I especially thank you for what you're doing on the street ministry, in the job sites, in the grocery stores, at the laundromats. Father God, wherever your spirit is choosing to move. And Father, we just expect great and powerful, wonderful things to happen tonight and all, every night of our lives. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In case you don't know it, God is on the move, and he's not going to stop moving. And if he started a good works in your life, he's going to finish it, right? There's a whole lot going on, and there's no reason why that you can't get involved with what God's doing, and you can't tell God he didn't open any doors for you to step through, right? There's lots of doors being opened that we can step through, and it's up to us to step through those doors and get involved. I tell you what, this is really a marvelous time to be living. The whole time I've been born again, it's been a marvelous time. But then we had our little dry season. But now what we're going into is far much greater than anything we've been to in our entire walk with God. And I wouldn't miss it for nothing. I just wouldn't miss it for nothing. And I know that God is pleased with us when we can just enter into his worship and enter into his courts with praise and just go all the way with it and no hindrance whatsoever. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about a journey. And I'm going to talk about Habakkuk. And what I want you to do as we look at this, I want you to think about, put yourself in this man's place. All right. Mark Twain once said that faith is believing what you know isn't so. Now, Scripture presents an altogether different definition. Faith is more than blind acceptance of something. It is an informed surrender and trust that rests the whole person on the purposes and will of God. Let's say that again. It is an informed surrender and trust that rests the whole person on the purposes and will of God. Now, faith involves belief, obedience, ethics, and lifestyle. It involves living with vision and memory. The circumstances of life sometimes appear to contradict God's revelation in concerning his power and purposes. Let's read that again. Faith involves belief, obedience, ethics, and lifestyle. It involves living with vision and memory. The circumstances of life sometimes appear to contradict God's revelation concerning his power and purposes. Now, Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk is a free-thinking prophet, God has sent a lot of prophets into the land at this given time, and there's a prophetic word going out today that says that prophets are not supposed to be intimidated, that they are supposed to be listening for God's voice and do what God's telling them to do. So if you're a prophet in here tonight, do not be intimidated by anybody or anything. And if God speaks through you, let him go ahead and speak through you. Let it be God, though, and not yourself. And just, excuse me, let it fall wherever it will. You can't force somebody to believe anything that God speaks through you. So let it fall wherever it wills. So I said Habakkuk is a free-thinking prophet who is not afraid to wrestle with issues that test his faith. Are you afraid to wrestle with issues that test your faith? We shouldn't be. In fact, we should be encouraged when God brings us something that we say, what? that blows your mind, you know? And we just, God's testing your faith. He openly and honestly directs his problems to God. This is what Habakkuk does. He openly and honestly directs his problems to God and waits to see how he will respond to his probing questions. You know, Habakkuk is not afraid to talk to God. Somebody called me today and they said, I'm going to just tell you about a conversation I have with God. And everybody knows me. I listen for God to speak, you know, as you're speaking to me. And they went on about what they wanted to say. And I said, I'm not hearing nothing. And they said, oh. And so I just started to pray. And so as I prayed and God started speaking, then the person on the other line, they laughed and they cried and they were all different kind of emotions. And whenever God was all through speaking, he said, that was all confirmation of what I just heard. And he said, I just wanted to make sure it was God speaking to me. So they had already been spoken to, but they called for a confirmation. When I said, I'm not hearing nothing, they was a little bit upset. But then I just started praying. And so God started speaking. So I thought that was pretty neat. So anyhow, I just finally had to get them off phone. I said, well, if that's all, I really have to go, because they were so excited about what God had told them. And then he told them the same words over again as confirmation. And they were just so excited they couldn't stand it. And see, this is how we should be. We should hear for ourselves. And then like they wanted a confirmation. So they called me and God spoke through me and gave them a confirmation. There's nothing wrong with that. And now they're just as excited as they can get. It's one of our people. I mean, they're really excited. All right. After two rounds, we're talking about Habakkuk now. After two rounds of dialogue with the Lord, Habakkuk's increased understanding of the person, power, and plan of God caused him to conclude with a psalm of unqualified praise. In other words, after two rounds of talking with God, he finally understands what God is about. The more he knows about the planner, God, the more he can trust his plans. So that's why God's been telling us, draw close to me. I want you to know my heart. So the more Habakkuk knows about the planner, which is God, the more he can trust God's plans. No matter what God brings to pass, the just shall live by faith. Are you listening? The prophet Habakkuk lived in a time of spiritual and moral decline, which led to the economic, social, and political tragedies of his people. This is the type of time we're living in, that time right now, right? I just want to stop there and say something. You know, the Judge Kavanaugh case that's out there. God told me months ago. I was walking down my in my hallway, going to go downstairs, and all of a sudden God just spoke and said, it's Wade versus Roe, right? It will be overturned and done away with. I didn't know all this was going to come up. And if you don't know, this is why they don't want Judge Kavanaugh in there, because he will do away with the Wade versus Roe. So I told somebody today, I really believe with all my heart that Judge Kavanaugh will become in the position that he's called to, because if he isn't, then the Democrats aren't going to stop Wade versus Roe. I'm just sitting around waiting to see what happens. And see, this is what you have to be. You have to be somebody that God can speak to you any place, any time. You know, I don't care what you're doing, and just blurp out something like that. And it's okay. Well, that's neat. And in fact, when I heard it, I said, I'm not quite sure what Wade versus Roe is. I had to look that up. And then I realized what it was. But this is what God wants us to be. People that even if we don't understand what he's saying, we can question him like Habakkuk did, and get an understanding of what God's doing, then we feel good with God, and we can trust him in every area of our life. All right, I said the prophet Habakkuk lived in a time of spiritual and moral decline, which led to the economic, social, and political tragedies of his people. Like the people to whom he preached, Habakkuk came from a storied nation. There was all kind of things going on. He was rooted in his God and all of the stories that accompanied him, the Exodus, the tabernacle, the law, and the land. Habakkuk knew that all of Israel's blessings were rooted in the covenant faithfulness of a chosen people. Habakkuk knew that all of Israel's blessings were rooted in the covenant faithfulness of a chosen people. If you want every blessing that God has spoken into your life come to pass, then you're going to have to have a covenant of faithfulness with God. And we've already, God's taught us about that. They had come a long way, you know, the Israelite children, they had come a long way since rejoicing over the miracle at the Red Sea or the completion of Solomon's temple. Yet Israel was established with the necessity of living in the three dimensions of time, the past, the present, and the future. How many times has God been telling us, let go of the past, and let go of the present, and then walk into the future? And this is where the Israelite children were. They were commanded to remember God's words and mighty actions of history. You know, if you really read your word and you look at what you're reading, the Bible just keeps repeating itself. the same sins from beginning to end, the same circumstance, and people don't seem to understand that. They just keep repeating themselves. And so we are in the time of Habakkuk right now. All right, they were called to see, the Israelite children were called to see life as a present blessing, with faith and justice as a response to the God who gave it. And they lived with hope, in God's good hands, so much so that neither death nor the future was a threat to the Israelites. All right. However, and this is how we are too, we're in the however stage, Israel forgot. Neglecting their heritage, the people walked away. They pursued other loves and became enamored with the nations around them. Israel forgot their high calling, and the consequences were tragic. This is where the church, this is what the church has done. The prophet Habakkuk was understandably grieved. Unable to understand what was happening to his community, the prophet walked through stages of depression, anger, acceptance, and faith. If you're a true prophet, you will walk through these four stages. The prophet walked through stages of depression, anger, acceptance, and faith. Why do you walk through them? Because of everything that God has spoken, but yet you look around about you and you see the people who aren't doing what God has said. In fact, they're transgressing the law over the place, and you get all these emotions start coming forward. Habakkuk struggles in his faith when he sees men flagrantly violate God's law and distort justice on every level without fear of divine intervention. Isn't that where the church has been told grace, 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 grace? And they think they can do whatever they want to do and not pay any price, and that is not true. Sin is sin, and God said he's going to lift the skirts, and he's been uncovering sin all around us. Habakkuk wants to know why God allows this growing iniquity to go unpunished. And as a prophet, I go through all this stuff and I ask God all these questions. And you know, once you really get into knowing who God really is and really look at what's going on around about you, instead of standing in a rose colored room, you're gonna feel like this too. And you're gonna say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? You know? But then you keep on walking. You don't stop just because the people are not lining up with what God is saying. You have to keep on going because there's a work that you have to do for the Father. There's people out there that haven't heard of the Father. Or they've been in church and have never been told the truth. And they have to be reached at all costs before the second coming of Jesus. Now Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 2 through 4. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Isn't that what's going on today? Judah was repeatedly called to repentance. And God's been calling the church to repentance for, I know, a good 4 years. But the nation stubbornly refuses to change her sinful ways. Habakkuk, knowing the hardness of his countrymen, asked God how long this intolerable condition can continue. See, with me and my bullheaded thing, I said, God, if you're not going to do anything, then I just quit. I'm just going to sit down. I'm tired of preaching the same thing over and over and over again and don't see any changes. I'm being honest. This is how I felt. And some of you know how I've felt over the years. But God says it's his work and not mine. I'm just a vessel that he wants to work through. So if you don't see changes in people, that's not your job to change them. Your job is just to be there and be a vessel that God can speak through, and they can never stand before the Father and say, I didn't hear the truth. All right? And, you know, as I look around at you guys, God keeps saying, so I'm just going to say it to me, so I'm going to say it to you. You guys, God brought in at this given time to get you cleaned up so your headquarters will be heaven, where you're going to get all your assignments from God. And he's sending you forth in this wave of glory that he has brought, he's already brought upon the earth, and he's wanting to use you mightily from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet to change the nations. All right. So you guys are on assignment, and he's been training you what to do when you go out there and face the devil, because the world is the devil. And when you go out there and face all that darkness, you should already be prepared to face the darkness and not be afraid, not back down. Are you saying? I think that's wonderful. Now, see, when God called me back in 77, he called me to be a teacher. And he sent me into all the churches where the pastors came all over, from all over the place, and I had to preach their sins to them. And God was trying to get the pastors to get cleaned up, and they wouldn't get cleaned up. They rejected the God in me, and they stayed in the state they were in. And that's why you see the mess that's around about us, and that's why God has chosen you guys to come in, take their mantles, and do the work they refuse to do. I mean, God's just showing me all this right now. So you guys are in a very, very, I'm hearing God say, precarious place, but also in a wonderful place in him. I mean, you know, and God's going to use you mightily. I don't know about you, but if I was in your shoes, I would just be doing a jig all the time. I do the jig because of what God's called me to do, but you guys are going to really, really, really do something powerful and great for God. And the people that shunned you are going to stand back and in awe and say, I can't believe that God is using them, because they know where you came from. I don't know where I'm at now. Habakkuk 1:5, is that where I'm at? All right, let me see. Let's start at Judah. Judah was repeatedly called to repentance, but the nation stubbornly refuses to change her sinful ways. Habakkuk, knowing the hardheartedness of his countrymen, asked God how long this intolerable condition can continue. And God's startling answer is given in Habakkuk 1:5. Look among the nations and watch the utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are also swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up mounds of earth and seize it. Then his mind changes, and he transgresses. He commits offense, imputing this power to his God. So God is raising up the fierce Babylonians as his rod of judgment upon sinful Judah. All right, the Chaldeans will come against Judah swiftly, violently, and completely. The coming storm from the east will be God's answer to Judah's crimes. The coming storm from the east will be God's answer to Judah's crimes. The prophet is more perplexed than ever, and ask how the righteous God can punish Judah with a nation that is even more wicked. See that? Will the God whose eyes are too pure to approve evil, period, reward the Babylonians for their cruelty and idolatry? Habakkuk stands on the watchtower to wait God's reply. And see, this is why God's saying the watchmen have to be at their post. You intercessors have to be constantly listening for God's voice and interceding for this nation. All right, at Habakkuk 2:1-4, Habakkuk said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am reproved. Now see, I stand on a watchtower, because I have to watch over the flock, and not only this flock, but over the nation. I have to be listening to God's voice, how he wants the voting to go, how he wants this to go, or how he wants that to go, so I know how to lead you people in the right way. Are you understanding this? All right, verse 1 in Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. See, when he tells you something, you're supposed to write it down, because he says it is for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. And though it tarries, wait for it. Don't give up on the word God's given you, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Even though God has promised us something and we see just the opposite, evil get darker and darker and darker, we have to stand with what God has spoken to us until God brings it to pass. All right, the Lord answers with a series of five woes to Habakkuk. In Habakkuk 2:5-8, he talks about greed and aggression. In Habakkuk 2:9-11, he talks about exploitation and extortion. In Habakkuk 2:12-14, he talks about violence. Habakkuk 2:15-17 is immorality. And Habakkuk 2:18-19 is idolatry. These are the issues that God talks to Habakkuk about. So if God is talking to Habakkuk about these things, why doesn't he want to talk to us about these type of things? God is well aware of the sins of the Babylonians. God's well aware of anybody's sins around about you, including your own. And they will not escape his terrible judgment. We all have to be judged for what we've done wrong. But Judah is guilty of the same offenses and stands under the same condemnation. This is what jerks my jaws. I see people, you know, pointing out somebody else's sin and grumbling and complaining, and they had the very same sins or worse sins inside of them that they don't ever tell nobody about. This is why God says, quit judging and quit pointing your finger. You take care of yourself, and God will take care of the other person or the other church or whatever it is you're pointing your finger at. All right, God concludes his answer with a statement of his sovereign majesty in Habakkuk 2:20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. I was praying to God one night, and God said, daughter, I have not fallen off my throne. I am still on my throne, and I can take care of this problem as well as I did all the rest of them. So I don't care what you're going through. God is still on his throne. And if you haven't tripped the reins and did something you shouldn't have done, and you've let God be in control, then God is going to take care of that situation. Now, Habakkuk's chapters move from asking why to expressing hopelessness or exclaiming anger, and finally to a psalm of praise for the person God. He goes from asking why, and we need to quit asking why, to expressing hopelessness or exclaiming anger, and finally to a psalm of praise for the person God. Habakkuk 3:17 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the floor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Doesn't matter what's going on, he says, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice at my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. That's where you should be tonight. That you don't care what's going on. Rejoice in the Lord. And thank God that you're saved. Amen. If you're talking about the wicked, dark people, just thank God you're not in their shoes. And thank God that you yielded your heart to him at the right time. And God has cleaned you up. And don't walk around with your old chest stuck out there, because he has a pin he can stick in there and burst out bubble too. Amen. Habakkuk now acknowledges God's wisdom in the coming invasion of Judah. Isn't that the way we are? Oh, God, you're so smart. You just know everything. After we act like fools, right? So Habakkuk now acknowledges God's wisdom in the coming invasion of Judah. And although it terrifies him, he will trust the Lord. God's creative and redemptive work in the past gives the prophet confidence. Look at that again. God's creative and redemptive work in the past. You know, God has done something good for you in the past, and don't say he hasn't. So instead of looking at all the negative, look at the good things he's done for you. Gives the prophet confidence in the divine purposes. If you'll do that, then you have confidence that God can do what he said he's going to do. And hope at a time when he would otherwise despair. I don't know about you, but if I didn't look back at what God did for me in the past, right at this given time with all everything that's coming down, I would lose hope. But I know my God, and I know where I was at. I know what he's done for me, and I know where the country's been at, and I know what he's done for the country, and I know that God can do whatever he says he's going to do at this given time too. Amen. Come on. All right, and then I said, and hope at a time when he would otherwise despair. Habakkuk ends by praising God's wisdom, even though he doesn't fully understand God's ways. Too many people don't praise God until they understand everything. You know, then that's not the time to praise him. You praise him before you understand. I believe there are times in life when we are on a similar journey as Habakkuk. Although at times we may find ourselves stuck in one stage or another, we are called to remember God's involvement in our past, our present, and our future. Be honest with yourself. If you really sit down and be honest with yourself, you can say anytime you were in a bind, you got yourself there. Because you did something that God told you not to do. Or you didn't do what he told you to do. And you're the reason why you know, I'm honest with myself. And I know a couple of things I've gotten into has been because I did not obey God, what God told me to do. All right. For instance, my very first marriage, when I was getting ready to walk down the aisle, see, I wasn't taught you could hear God's voice. I heard a voice say, do not walk down that aisle. I looked around. I thought, who said that? And then I heard the voice again, and then I looked, the church was packed out, and I knew there was a big layout of food at the reception hall, and I knew if I didn't go down that aisle, I was going to make my mother very upset. So I walked down that aisle and got married and spent 45 years in hell, in a marriage in hell. That was my fault. I can't blame him. I can't blame God. I heard the voice, even though I wasn't taught about hearing the voice, said, do not walk down that aisle. Are you listening? Come on. Some of you have done maybe not with a marriage, but you've done the very same thing. God has told you not to do something, but you did it anyhow. You guys, you've got to start looking inward. You have to look at yourself and quit blaming the other guy. My husband was abusive. You stood by and you let him abuse you. I don't care what it is. You know, you stayed there and you did it. And if you be honest about it, there's some point where God told you to leave and you didn't go. All right? This time you get honest with yourself. All right, between the pages where Habakkuk cries out for God's answer and where he ends in a mixture of fear and faith, we learn something of the tension and struggle that is ours until this journey ends. Romans 3:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're separated from God, it says right here, there's nothing that can separate you from God except you. Absolutely nothing. So if you're blaming things on God because your life's messed up, you messed it up. God did not. The other person didn't either. If they did, you allowed them to. So it still comes back to you. You're going to be held accountable for you, not for what the other person did. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but go ahead and swallow it and move on and repent and move on and don't do it again. All right? Through trial and uncertainty, the Apostle Paul encourages us to do likewise. We are to cling to what we know along the way. We are to cling to what we know along the way And Habakkuk prayed in Habakkuk 3, 1 and 2, my prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk 3:12 says, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. That says, think on that. He said, God, you did it all. God has done it all in your life. You are the one that's messing up. God is there and he has his hands outstretched to you. It's up to you to reach out and take a hold of his hands and let him embrace you and follow what he tells you to do. Now, God's people continue to discover anew that the promises of God are sure in Habakkuk 2:14. Excuse me, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk has found out that God is all God. All right, and one day it's all going to cover the earth. And whether you like it or not, it's going to hit you right in the face. Excuse me, it's not easy. There are real dangers, costs to bear, and always a demand for perseverance to follow God and to do what he's calling you to do. There are real dangers, costs to bear, and always a demand for perseverance. But ultimately and exclusively, our hope is in God alone. Through faith, we live knowing that God is who he says he is. A lot of people don't believe who he says he is. Lately, he's been telling you, I am that I am that I am. And I can't believe how he keeps emphasizing that. People don't believe that he is the great I am. Through faith, we live... But ultimately and exclusively, our faith is in God alone. Through faith, we live knowing that God is who he says he is, remembering that his promises are sure, that he alone will conclude history. You're not going to do it. The devil's not going to do it. God is going to do it. And that his reckoning will be both final and just. But until that day comes, we watch and wait, living by faith and memory of what he's done in the past for us. The beginning of the book of Habakkuk and the ending stand in stark contrast. Mystery to certainty, questioning to affirming, and then complaining to confidence. Won't you be happy when you get from complaining to confidence? I know God's up there saying, come on, get this thing together. And do it right. The story of Habakkuk is our life. And we can all say amen to that. Habakkuk is an unusual name derived from the verb, it's H-A-B-A-Q, which means embrace. Thank you, Astrid. She's my interpreter for the words I can't say. I said, God, how come she knows all those words and I can't say them? Thus his so Habakkuk's name means embrace. Thus his name means one who embraces or clings. And Habakkuk clung to God. He embraced God with everything in him. At the end of his book, this name becomes appropriate because Habakkuk chooses to cling firmly to God, regardless of what happens to his nation. Hello, come on. At the end of his book, this name becomes appropriate because Habakkuk chooses to cling firmly to God regardless of what happens to his nation. That's the people round about him. Noah chose to cling to God no matter what the people did. Paul chose to cling to God no matter what the people did. We also need to begin to cling to God no matter what anyone else does. I get so tired of people saying, well, if only. Get out of here. You would still do what you're doing if you have that if only attitude. You would. And God wants you to get over that if only attitude. It's your personal walk with God. Somebody else cannot stop you from walking with God the way you should. They just can't. They might put a little wall up there every now and then, but you are the one that determines, are you going to walk through that wall, or are you going to let that person wall you in where you can't walk with God the way he wants you to? And God said there's a stomping ground for those who have determined in their heart to follow him with all of their heart. And on that stomping ground is where you will defeat the enemy of your souls. In other words, you just, from what I'm getting from that, you just need to tell the devil where you stand, and then stand. Instead of, all right, devil, get out of here. And then 5 minutes later, somebody does something you don't like. Oh, poor me. The devil knows you. God knows you, and the devil knows you. You don't even know you. That was God. You don't know who you are. You don't know what's even inside of you. You have to let God, if the shoe fits, put it on, all right? If it doesn't, just say, thank you, God, that let them know they have to do this. But, you have to know who you are in Christ. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, you're never going to convince anybody else that Christ is real. You're going to go through trials and tribulations and persecutions of all kinds. You might even lose your life. But when you go through all that kind of stuff, you don't sink. You keep on running with God. You keep on walking. You know, the Bible says that a good man falls seven times in a day, but pulls himself back up again. So God knows that we're going to have many, many days of being discouraged, but he says we pull ourselves back up again. So pull yourself up, dear Lord. Quit laying there waiting for somebody else to come along to join in your pity party, and just get up and move. Just get up and move. My grandson said, you talk to those kids like they're grown up. I said, well, they act like they are, so might as well talk to them that way, all right? Tell me to shut up and they're going to do what they want to do. Okay, then I'm going to talk to you like that too. And just like you, the body of Christ gets me upset because they act like they're a bunch of weaklings that have no power, no authority, no backbone. And they keep giving into the wiles of the enemy because they like to. And then they blame it all on God. Or the pastor. Or they take the word of God and they twist it so it says what they wanted to say. Come on, guys. Who are you in Christ Jesus? Are you really, truly a soldier? Are you a warrior? Do you have a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint? I tell you what, when you want to come against another child of God, you can get ignorant. So why don't you do that to the devil? You sit there and you act like you're all defeated and everything else. Boy, let somebody say something that you don't like in the house of God, and you can just chew them up and spit them out about 10 times in 5 minutes. Come on. That came from God. That's all come from God. So think about it. Think about it. I wish we could just be happy, happy, happy. I really do, but we aren't there. We aren't there. We're not going to get there. I mean, we are happy, 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 but we have to fight the devil. And we are full of the joy of the Lord, and that's our strength, and we should have joy. I thought the song service was wonderful. I just couldn't get away from happy songs today when I was putting that together. And I thought, God, I really do like these, and I'm just going to really enjoy them tonight. And I noticed that you all did too, because you know what? There's a time to rejoice and there's a time to sit down. And right now is a time to rejoice. God wants us to have a good time in him. And then whenever we go to our workplaces or wherever we go, they see the joy of the Lord on our faces. And, because we've already been built up through praise and worship, and they'll want what you have. They don't want that dead face that I see a lot of times standing up here. They want to see the joy of the Lord. Well, Elaine, when you go in the street, those guys are already depressed. They don't need to see you up there depressed. They don't need to see you saying, oh, it's so cold and rainy out here. How do you ever stand on the street? They already know that it's cold and rainy and they went on the street. You see what I'm saying here? We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We need to be like Habakkuk and finally realize God is the truth. And God can do all things. And God is really getting on you guys tonight, because he wants you to get that backbone of steel that he's been talking about and that forehead of flint, and don't lose it. He gave it to you once. He said, you've lost it. You've allowed somebody to come and steal it and make you a wimp again. He wants you to become a warrior and stay a warrior. And that's what the altar call is about right now. He wants you to get up here and he wants to smack you really good with his anointing to become a true warrior and stay a true warrior and not give in the minute somebody looks at you crosswise. Come on. It's just time we get this thing together. He wants to remotivate you tonight. He wants you to be remotivated tonight, that you're going to leave here tonight and you're no longer going to look down and around and with your head stuck in the sand, but you're going to have your head up high watching for the devil so you can beat him up. Fight him really good. Come on. Raise your hands and receive. And whatever you receive, don't give back to the devil. Don't let him steal it from you. Strong. Come on, be strong. Some of you in here, you have people right now that are in hell because you would not get your life together and witness to them the way God had assigned you to do, and they're in hell. And one day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, see this person, see this person. Why didn't you get yourself right and why didn't you witness to them? This is what God's telling you. He's going to hold you accountable for what you're doing right now because you are causing souls to go into hell.